Hi, I'm Rowan Miller. Let's take a look under the hood at how Code First Migrations works. This stuff is good to know whenever you're using migrations, but especially useful in scenarios like team environments and targeting an existing database. We'll take an in-depth look at how migrations detect changes to the model and scaffolds the corresponding migrations, and then we'll swap to Visual Studio and see the whole migrations pipeline in action. Let's start with a workflow for the first migration. The initial step is to define your model using code. You would then use the addMigration command to scaffold a migration that will create the corresponding schema in the database. Let's look at what happens inside the addMigration command. The first step is to calculate the model based on the code you wrote. Once we have the model, this is passed to the EDM model differ to calculate the required changes to the database. Because this is the first migration, we're just comparing to an empty model. Once we have the required changes, the migration's code generator is responsible for turning that into the scaffolder migration that's added to your project. In addition to the actual code, there's also a resource file that includes an embedded snapshot of the model. This embedded snapshot is useful in subsequent migrations, as we'll look at now. Once you have the scaffolder migration, you would then use the update database command to push these changes to the database. Now let's take a look at how migrations works in any subsequent migrations. You would start by making a change to your model in code. You would then use the addMigration command to scaffold a migration to apply the corresponding changes to the database schema. Once again, we're going to look at what happens inside this command. The first step is to calculate the current model based on code. We can then find the previous model by looking at the embedded resource of the previous migration. We then pump both of these models into the EDM model differ to calculate the required database changes. Again, once we have these, they're passed to the migration's code generator, which then in turn scaffolds the corresponding migration into your project. Once again, the current model is stored as a snapshot in a resource file. Now that you have the scaffolder migrations, you would again use the update database command to push these changes to the database. Now that we have an understanding of how migrations detect changes to the model, let's swap to Visual Studio and see it in action. I'm going to start by defining the model in code. Again, we're just going to create a blogs class with some simple properties and a blogging context that derives from DB context and exposes a DB set of blog. I'm then going to issue an enable migrations command, which will set up some infrastructure in my project, including a migrations folder and a migrations configuration that contains the settings for migrations. I'm then going to issue the addMigration command to scaffold the first migration to create the schema for my model. In addition to the scaffolded code that you see, you'll also see the resource file, or .resx file, that contains the snapshot of the current model. I'm happy with this migration, so I use update database to push the changes to the database. If we swap to SQL Management Studio, we can see the database has now been created on our LocalDB instance, and contains the blogs table that corresponds with our blog entity. You'll also notice the migration history table. This contains a list of all the migrations that have been applied to the database. This is how migrations works out which migrations still need to be applied when I run the update database command. Now let's go back to our project, and we'll make a change to our model, introducing the URL property to the blog class. Once again, I'll use the addMigration command to scaffold the required changes to the database. In addition to the scaffolded changes, there's again a resx file which contains a snapshot of the current model. I'll use the update database command to push these changes to the database. Update database will look at the migration's history table and see that the migration called first has already been applied, but the migration called second has not. If we swap to the database, we can refresh the columns and see the new URL column introduced for us. This has been a quick overview of how Code First Migrations works. In the following videos, we'll look at some more advanced scenarios, such as using migrations in a team environment, or targeting a database with an existing schema.